Well, today I want to kind of go into part three of a series that I started a couple weeks ago. We looked at what a day worker is. Remember this message, day working versus a full-time hand for on a ranch. Let me give you the kind of the recap of the last couple weeks. A day worker is this. It's a cowboy that goes to a ranch and he works a day. He works a day or maybe a week, or maybe he just signs up for the branding season. And then once the branding season is over, the chuck wagon's back to the ranch, he takes off and he goes to the next ranch and he works for that ranch maybe for a few days. And then he goes to another ranch. He works a few days there and then he goes to another one. That's called a day worker. And while there's some fun to that, I don't really, and I would like to have done it when I was single or, you know, would have enjoyed that. I believe that there's more benefits for being a full-time hand than just a day worker. You say, well, what's a full-time hand? A full-time hand is somebody that's committed to the ranch. I mean, the ranch boss or the cow boss knows that he's going to stick around. He doesn't have to wonder if he's going to be there tomorrow to do the work. And the benefits of being full-time, for me, far outweigh the day working. You say, what are the benefits? Well, you might be able to get a ranch house. You might be able to get a freezer full of beef. You might get your own feed pickup. You might be able to start your own family. I mean, there's all kinds of benefits to being a full-time hand. And here's the spiritual application of that. On God's ranch, there are no day workers. I want you to think about that. Maybe you weren't here for these messages. You can go on 1000hillsranchchurch.com and you can listen to all of our messages. But listen, on God's ranch, there's no day workers. Guess what he wants? He wants full-time hands that are sold out to him. And you say, well, what are the benefits? The benefits are we get fed like the ranch hand gets fed. We get fed all the word of God. We get fed all the peace and the joy of God when we live full-time for him. You say, well, like a ranch hand gets a ranch house. What do we get? We get a mansion in heaven because we've sold out to God's ranch. You say, well, what else are the benefits? I mean, we get all kinds of stuff when we sell out to God and we commit to be a full-time hand for him. In our part one, we looked at what is a full-time hand, what does it entail? First of all, you got to know the cow boss. You got to know him personally. And you say, who's the cow boss? It's Christ. Christ is over all the ranch, and we've got to know him personally. The second thing to be a full-time hand is we got to do things the cow boss's way, right? You go to work for a cow boss, you're going to do it his way. That means you're going to work for him. You're going to do things that he desires for you to do. It's the same way with God. We got to say no to sin. We got to say yes to living for God. And then in part two, we looked at John chapter 6, and we learned that we're all long shots. Remember Mind That Bird, the racehorse? Remember when we talked about him? I'm coming up here. I'm going to spit on some of you guys. Is that okay? Okay, can I let you know another little secret because I'm going to chase a little rabbit here? If you ever see one of those little white cotton balls on my mouth like this, you know how some preachers have that little white ball and they just sit there and it just stays on their lip like that? Please slap me. I mean, I'm close enough now. That gets me every time. I want to go up there and wipe that little cotton ball off their mouth. Anybody with me? It annoys you too? So anyways, I just had to say that. I don't know why. It's just one of those moments. But anyways, what was I talking about? Mind That Bird. Remember the racehorse, Mind That Bird? I mean, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's a thoroughbred racehorse. He was initially bought for like $9,500, which is nothing. Then he won a few races, was bought for $400,000. Makes it to the Kentucky Derby. Remember this? He makes it to the Kentucky Derby. His trainer broke his foot, drove him in a pickup truck, pulling a little trailer all the way to the Kentucky Derby. 21 hours or whatever, one way. Gets to the racetrack, it rains the night before, it's sloppy, the track is bad, he gets a bad start when he comes out of the gate, he's 8 lengths behind, remember this? The TV announcer doesn't even know he's in the race because he's so far behind, but then he turns the corner, and his jockey takes it to him, and he begins to make his way up to the front, and he wins the race by 6 lengths. If you haven't watched that race, go watch it. I mean, it'll give you God bumps. I mean, it'll give you goosebumps. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing race. And you say, well, what's the point? Here's the point. You say, well, how did that happen? It happened because, you know what? Mind That Bird was in the right hands. He had a good trainer and he had a good jockey. And you say, well, what's the point? What's the spiritual application of that? Here's the point. You will never know what God can do with what you've got until you put it in his hands. Remember the scripture? John chapter 6, I believe it was. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. A little boy had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he brought them to Jesus. And guess what Jesus did? He fed over 20,000 people. Remember, we learned that 5,000 people only were counting the men, but there were women and children and everybody there. And Jesus fed all those people with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. You know why? Because all that little stuff was in the hands of the right person, which was Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what's that mean for me? It means that if you will put your life in his hands, he will make some things happen. He will make some things happen. Well, today we're going to finish maybe this series. I don't know what God wants to do, but we may finish it. And this is part 3. And if you're taking notes, write this stuff down. This is good stuff. Now, here's the thing. How many of you guys like trail riding? Anybody like trail riding? Yeah, you guys maybe just like to go on a trail ride. Well, I'm the opposite. I'm not a big trail rider because I would rather have a job to do. You'd rather ride, but you want to have a job to do, right? Well, that's the way I roll. I would rather have a job to do. Now, we do some trail rides, and if we plan a trail ride, I'll probably go on it. But I'll be the person in charge of like the chuck wagon or something. You guys go take the ride. I'll be right back. I'll be right here. But here's the thing. Here's what I like to do. I like to ride with a purpose. In other words, if Sue over here calls me, she says, I got cattle out. I need someone to come get my cattle in. I'm on it. I would rather ride with a purpose than ride just a ride and do, do, do. You know, I'd rather just go and do something with a purpose. This Thursday, I get to go to a ranch out at Mutual where they're going to drag 250 calves. That's what I love to do. You know why? Because there's a purpose, especially when it's 40 degrees outside. Amen? But here's the thing. When it comes to Thousand Hills Ranch Church and us as Christians, I never want our church to just ride without a purpose. It's just like the merry-go-round, the song that we just sang. I mean, it's a great song. I encourage you to listen to it. But here's the thing. You see this girl, Mary, Mary, quite contrary, she's going through the motions. She's on the merry-go-round. Remember the merry-go-round? My kid peed on one time. We didn't make it to the bathroom. He's like, I got to pee, and he just peed all over the horse. And then we went to the pool, and he washed himself off. How good of a parent am I? Don't tell me you've never done that or something stupid like that. But Mary, Mary, quite contrary, is going on the merry-go-round, just going in circles. Did you catch the song? I mean, her mom's hooked on Mary Kay, her brother's hooked on Mary Jane, and daddy's hooked on Mary two doors down. I mean, they're settling for second best, going through the motions, predictable and boring, and just going in circles. Just like the song says, I believe that it can happen to us. It can happen to me. It can happen to this church. We can get on the merry-go-round. All of our friends are on the merry-go-round. We're having a great time. And we just go in circles. Listen, we're not going to do that. If I do anything, I want to challenge us to not get on and get stuck on the merry-go-round. So here's the thing that I have to do as a pastor. Listen. I have to ask myself these questions. How can I stay off the merry-go-round? Here's another question. How can our church keep from being mediocre and ineffective? What can I bring that is meaningful and purposeful to my life and to the lives of the people in our church? And how can I remain a consistent, full-time hand for Christ and not become a day worker? And I believe God has given me the answer to this question. You ready for the answer? Ready for this? Here's the answer. You say, well, how do we keep from getting on the merry-go-round? How do we keep from being mediocre and boring? Listen, here's the answer. We have to give rather than receive. I want you to listen to that. We have to give rather than receive. And you say, well, what do you mean, Bo? That's exactly what I mean. I can't really explain it any better than that. We have to give rather than receive. I don't know if you watch GAC. Anybody watch GAC, Great American Country? You need to. I mean, it's a cool station. They have this show on there that's called Trevor Brazil, or Being Trevor Brazil. Has anybody watched this show yet? Yeah, it's a good show. Trevor Brazil, if you haven't, if you don't know who he is, he's a 7,000-time world champion. I don't know how many times he is. How many times? 16? He's won his ninth, maybe all around. I can't remember. But anyways, he's the best cowboy out there. Now, I was watching this show, Being Trevor Brazil, and he was talking about all the buckles that he's won. He said, you know, all these buckles are great, but here's what he said. He said, all the buckles are great, but it's not what I receive that gives me the biggest thrill. It's what I give. And then they showed a segment on him giving back to kids that are less fortunate, giving them their first horseback ride, showing them how to rope, helping them ride a bull or a little fake bull that they were, bucking for these little kids. He says, that's more fulfilling than all the gold buckles that I've received. You know what his partner said? His partner said, Patrick Smith, he said, what did he say? I went blank. He said, if all you are counting on is the buckles, then you're going to be disappointed. Here's what else he said. I just went blank. What did he say? Anybody watch the stinking show? What else did he say? Here's what he said. He said, roping is what we do. It's not who we are. Now, I want you to get this. Here's the main point of all today. Today is a day that I want you to understand that it is better to give than to receive. And I'm committing to you as a pastor. Our church is committed to giving more than we receive. If you walk in here and you think, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to sit and receive and that's all I'm going to do. Great for you, but you probably aren't going to be fulfilled. You know why? Because our church was created and exists to reach people that don't know Christ yet, not you. And you say, well, that's kind of offensive. I don't know if I'll come back. There's the door. You know why I can say that? Because I don't want to be on a merry-go-round. All my Christian buddies, riding the merry-go-round. That's not what this church is about. This church is about giving rather than receiving all the time. And you say, is receiving good? Absolutely it's good. I love to receive things. But it's more blessed to give. And you say, well, Bo, how do you know that? How do you know that that's the answer? Here's how I know that it's the answer. Because the Bible tells me that's the answer. I want you to look at a scripture. There's one scripture today. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Look at it with me. It says this. It says, in everything I did, and let me just stop right there. I want to preface this. Paul, the greatest spiritual leader in the Bible, is speaking. Paul. And he says this in the verses earlier. He's saying goodbye to his fellow believers, and he commits them to the Lord. He commits them to the teaching of God's word. And he says, I didn't do this to receive gold or silver. I did everything not to become rich, but to be free to do what God's work is. And then he shares these powerful words. He says this, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you catch that? That last part, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want to just touch on that today. I don't know about you, but if we were to all be honest, listen, if we were to all be honest, I think we would have this thought in our mind. It's more blessed to receive than to give. Anybody ever had that thought? Thank you for being honest. One guy. I've had that thought. And I don't know, if maybe I'm figuring out that I'm selfish. My wife, she's so unselfish. I've told you this before. My wife would give the last scoop of ice cream that she had to my kids. I'm not sharing ice cream. I'm selfish. Now, but here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. I learned that I love gifts. And I'm not saying that so that you'll give me all kinds of stuff. Because you can't afford the gifts that I want. See, because I'm selfish. I don't want the small gifts. I want the big gifts. Give me a flatbed for the back of my pickup, not the little, the little crank hay bale hauler. Is anybody with me? Is anybody selfish? Liars! I can't stand you. This church is terrible. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But here's the thing. I love gifts. I love to receive gifts. But again, I love handmade gifts. I don't know if you noticed my guitar strap. I got that for Christmas. Hand-tooled. It's awesome. I mean, that's one of the most amazing gifts that I've ever received. But here's the reality. While receiving gifts is awesome, and it's a temporary pleasure, guess what? It's more blessed, and I'm more blessed when I give rather than when I receive. It's just true. And you say, well, isn't it a blessing to receive things from God? Absolutely. And if you know Christ personally, guess what? He's going to bless you. And you don't need to go, no, I'm not going to receive his gifts. No, receive them. Allow him to bless you. But know that it's better to give than to receive. Look at verse 35 if it's still on the screen. It is more. Look at that one word right there. It is what? More blessed to give than to receive. And you say, well, how are we more blessed when we give to the Lord and give to others? Can I give you two reasons, two ways? When I'm more giving than I, you know, expect to receive, here's what happens. I affect the next generation. I want you to think about this. Because I have kids. When my kids see me give more than I receive, guess what that does? It breeds in them a mentality that it's more blessed to give than to receive. You get that? You say, well, how is it more of a blessing? It's more of a blessing because our kids can be effective. Your grandkids can be affected by you giving more than you receive. The second thing is we can make an eternal difference. If I will give the gift of Jesus to the people that don't know him, guess what? I'm making an eternal difference. You say, well, I give to everything. No, if it's not an eternal gift, then it's not going to last for eternity. You say, well, what are those gifts? The gift of salvation. The gift of good deeds. The gift of love. Those are the things that are going to last for eternity. And I believe that if I can get past my own selfishness and my own greed, I will believe and I will be able to rest on that it's better to give than to receive. And you say, well, what's God asking me to give? Listen to this. Here's what God is asking you to give. All you've got. All you've got. I can't hold back. I can't hold something back and not truly be, you know, truly be good with God. I have to give him everything. Look at the words of verse 35 again. Look at the second word. In what? Say it with me. In what? In everything I did. You know what that's saying? Paul gave everything to the Lord. He gave his time. He gave his money. He gave his talents. He gave his life. That's what he did. And you say, well, what else does Paul show us in this verse? Look at it with me. In everything I did, I showed you that by what? Say it. Hard work. Say that together. Hard work. You say, well, what am I supposed to give? I'm supposed to give everything, and I'm supposed to work hard. Paul shows us that we have to work hard. 1 Corinthians 4:12 says this. It says, we work hard with our own hands. And listen to this. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. You know who's speaking there? Paul. You know what Paul did for the rest of his life? He labored for Christ. He gave everything that he had. This was his goal. This was his prize. And this was his reward, was to give. And that's what God asks of us. And so here's a personal question. Are you working hard for the Lord? Think about it. I want you to really just digest that, chew on that. Are you working hard for the Lord? You maybe say, you know, I'm here, aren't I? Is that really hard? We start at 10:30. I don't know about you, but that's pretty late. I don't think that's very hard to get out of bed, right? You may say, well, I'm a part of a team. Yeah, you may be part of a team, and great. I'm glad that you are. But hey, listen, are you working hard for that team? You say, well, you know, I've got my church sticker on my pickup. Oh, really? I mean, is that working hard? Oh, I wear my hoodie. Oh, really? I mean, that's great. But is that working hard? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you sweated for the Lord? When was the last time you sacrificed something to give to the Lord? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your time, your effort, all your gifts, all your talents. When was the last time that you worked hard for the sake of serving this church? Listen, we have to have you. The sad truth is, and this is for me as well, we work hard at getting rather than giving. We work hard at making money, at accomplishing and accumulating possessions, getting a fame, building up a reputation. We work hard at our jobs, and we should do that. We work hard with our families, and we should do that. But what about working hard for the Lord? Are you doing it? Here's my prayer some days, and I don't always accomplish this. Lord, help me to go to bed exhausted knowing that I gave you all I got today. When was the last time you prayed a prayer like that? I'm not perfect at it, but that's my prayer. You know why I pray it? Because on my own, I can't do it. When was the last time you did that? You know what else Paul shows us? It shows us who we're to work hard for. Look at it, verse 35 again. It says, in everything that I did, I showed you that by his hard work, or this hard work, we must help the what? We must help the what? The what? The weak. You say, well, who's the weak? Let me explain who the weak are. It's the poor. But guess what? It's the rich as well. It's the needy, but it doesn't just mean that you got to give money to the poor. Listen, there are rich people that are still weak, right? You know why they're weak? Because they don't have a faith in Christ. You need to be able to work hard to help the poor and the rich and the needy and the suffering and the unchurched. But we also got to help those that are weak in their faith, that struggle to trust God in their life. We've got to work hard for those that are lost. We got to pray hard. We got to love hard. We got to share the gospel with passion. You know why? Because that's what God has called us to do. Look at Psalm 41, 1 and 2. It says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. You know what that's saying? We're supposed to help, and we're supposed to work hard for the better of the Lord and the better of others. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do. And you say, well, what do we give? We give everything. We work hard, and we reach out to the weak. That's what God has called us to. And you say, well, why? Why do we do that? Here's my answer. Because that's what Jesus did. It's what he did. You say, well, who's supposed to be our example? Jesus is our example. Jesus not only taught this, but guess what? He lived it. If you've not read the Bible, if you will read the Bible, you will see that God sent his son Jesus not to be served, but to what? To serve. Look at Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know what Jesus did? He gave his life. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to give our lives for him. So listen to this. Save people, serve people, so that those we serve can be saved. You get it? That's what we're supposed to do. And Jesus did that. He sacrificed himself. He served. He gave everything he had. And you say, why did he give everything he had? Because he knew that it was more blessed to give than to receive. That's what he knew. And so here's my question, and I'm done. You ready? Will you give? Or will you just sit there? I know I'm being a little up in your grill, but listen, I don't want to be on the merry-go-round. If you want to be on the merry-go-round, go to the 50 other churches around here, and they might be on a merry-go-round. I'm not saying they all are. God uses other churches, not just ours. But listen, I'm not going to be on a merry-go-round. And so here's my question. Will you give all you've got? Or will you settle for second best? In your relationships, in your work, in your life, with your children, will you give all you've got to the Lord and all you've got to others so that we can make an eternal difference together for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you give? I hope that you will. I pray that you will. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you are here today and you do give. Some of you are giving all you've got. And listen, I'm not talking maybe to you today. You know, all the people, sometimes the people that are giving the most, they feel bad and they feel like they got to give more. Listen, if you're giving all you've got to the Lord, you're working hard for the Lord, you're sweating, you're sacrificing for the Lord, listen, great job, keep it up. But here's my question. Some of you aren't. Some of you aren't giving. And my question to you is, why not? You may be thinking, well, I'm blessed. I mean, I don't need anything else. I got all the money. I got all the, you know, I got a wife. I got kids. I mean, I'm blessed. Why would I want to give more? I mean, God, He's taking care of me already. Listen, you can settle for second. You can get on the merry-go-round and just go in circles, or you can be more blessed by God. Maybe these are your excuses. Maybe it's because you don't trust God. Why not? Maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Why not? Maybe your prayer today, if that's you, you need to pray to God and say, God, help me to trust in you. Help me to give you all that I've got. And you say, well, how do I get saved? How do I come to know Christ? Listen, it's simple. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the first step. And so maybe you need to pray that. God, I give you my life. I trust in you. I confess that you are my Lord, and I want to lean on you, not my own understanding. Maybe this is your excuse. Maybe it's because you're just selfish with your life. You're selfish with your time. You got your own agenda. You're going to do your own thing. God ain't going to get in the way. I'm not going to give too much to the church. I'm not going to give too much to him. And maybe you're just selfish. I know I am sometimes. Maybe your prayer needs to be this. Lord, help me to be more selfless. Show me where I can work hard and where I can serve you in this church and help me to get to work. Here's maybe another excuse. Maybe it's because you have a particular sin that has a stronghold on you and you just can't shake it. You say, I can't be used by God. I can't give all I've got because I got this particular sin in my life and I can't shake it. Listen, God can shake it for you. If you will turn to Him and you will say, Lord, I repent. I turn from that sin and I turn to you and I want you to work into my life. Listen, He can take that sin away so that you can give Him all you've got. So maybe that needs to be your prayer. You need to say to the Lord, I repent of the sin that I know I'm living in and I want to be used by you. Maybe your excuse is this. Maybe you just don't know how. I don't know how to give it all. I have never had a Christian example in my life to show me. Can I just encourage you, if that's you and you say that in your heart and in your mind right now, you need to be a part of the round pin class. There is no excuse for you not to know. We are offering this free Bible study, this free round pin class, so that you can know how to grow and how to give God all you've got. Listen, full-time hands understand that being committed to the Lord means giving all we've got to Him and to others. So will you give it all? Or will you settle for the merry-go-round? Listen, at Thousand Hills, we don't call people to the front, but here's what we ask you to do. If you made a decision today or you want more information about our church, listen, you go grab one of those orange sheets off our guest table, you put it in the offering bucket on that table, and we will contact you and we will help you in whatever way that we can. And so if you made a decision today, if you've recommitted your life and you need prayer, listen, fill out an orange sheet. You may be a member. Fill out an orange sheet so that we can know and we can pray for you. Maybe you gave your heart to Christ today. Fill out an orange sheet so that we can help you grow in your relationship. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and I want to thank you for being here today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for each individual in this church. And Lord, I thank you for those that are giving it their all, that come each Sunday, that wake up on Monday, that wake up on Tuesday, and they give it all. They go to work expecting you to use them at their workplace, expecting you to give them an opportunity, and they're taking advantage of that opportunity so that others' lives can be changed. And they're giving it all they got. I thank you for those men, those women, those teenagers that do that. But Lord, I know that there's some in here that aren't doing that. And Lord, today, may you just eliminate all their excuses so that they can begin to give you all they've got. May this church be blessed because others have realized that it's more blessed to receive or to give than to receive. So help us to do that. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.